This interview is sponsored by Grasshopper, the virtual phone system that entrepreneurs love because you can use your own phones and manage it on the web. Check out grasshopper.com. It's also sponsored by WooFoo, where you can go right now to get embeddable forms and surveys that you can add to your website for free. Go to WooFoo.com. And it's sponsored by Shopify. When you go to Shopify.com, you can create a store within minutes and have all the support and features that you need to make that store grow. Check out Shopify.com. Here's the program. Hey, everyone. It's Andrew Warner, founder of Mixergy.com, home of the ambitious upstart. And I've got a beard. I'll explain that probably later on in the interview. Today's guest is Todd Garland. He is the founder of BuySellAds.com. Todd actually is someone who I met via email. You're a viewer of Mixergy, right, Todd?
I most certainly am.
You know what? I love the audience that I'm attracting here with Mixergy, and I'm so proud that you're out there listening to my work. And the way that I met Todd is he sent me an email and he said, hey, maybe I can help you out with your ads. And we talked back and forth. I wanted to figure out what I should be charging, how I can increase rates, how I can grow and so on. And he was just incredibly helpful. So I said, hey, Todd, why don't you come on Mixergy and talk about some of the ideas that you told me about, how you helped me. I'd like you to help the audience. And we also did a pre-interview where we went over some of the questions I'll be asking. And I discovered that there's an interesting business behind buysellads.com. For example, how much outside funding do you guys have?
Zero right now. So
zero outside funding. And how much money did you guys make last year?
We did all right last year. I'd rather not get into the exact numbers. But, you know, we're growing. We're doing well.
All right. He's smiling because we talked before the interview about whether he could give out the numbers or not. He and I talked privately about what his numbers are like, but we agreed that we wouldn't be talking about it here. And that's why I'm not going to keep pushing him for those numbers. But what about how many ads you guys serve?
Sure. So, for example, last month we served 2.2 billion impressions. That's across roughly 1,500 sites. And yeah, I mean, since last year, that's grown just over 400%. So,
okay. And 1,500 sites. What kind of sites do you guys represent?
So primarily sites that are in either like the iPhone app review space, web design development, programming, those types of sites right now. And primarily just because there are a lot more hobby sites in those niches. So.
How many impressions does your typical site have?
On average, I'd say a site would have maybe like 100, 150,000 impressions a month. I think a lot of the larger sites hover right around 1 million, and that's kind of their sweet spot there. So,
a site that has 100,000 impressions a month, what kind of revenue can they generate?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely depends on the site, right? There's no straight answer, but my best guesstimate would be you're looking at maybe $500 a month, $1,000 a month. If it's a site that's very, very specific, like for example, a site like Mixergy, off that kind of traffic would probably earn three times as much per month. So it depends on the audience too, and how kind of unique the content is, really.
I like to hear that we get three times as much as the average site, at least.
Yeah.
And that's 100,000 uniques a month, or 100,000 unique. That's impressions, right? We're not even talking about unique viewers.
Yeah, I'm just going off straight impressions. It's kind of the easiest metric we use to gauge sites right now. So,
okay, all right. And by the way, I am looking at myself here with this beard, and I think I should just explain it because I'd be curious about what's going on. It's making me look all kinds of different. Already, I've got dark eyes because the lighting in here is terrible. I've got now dark on my face here on my chin because I didn't shave this morning. And of course, I'm dark complexion, so the whole thing looks like a big dark spot on people's screen. So I'm here in Buenos Aires. Usually I have two razors, one backup and one that I use every day. Olivia unplugged my regular razor to plug in her iPod so she could listen to music as she was getting ready for a run. And we forgot to plug my razor back in, and I said, you know what, I could either go out and get a new razor and shaving cream and find a way to shave quickly in the morning, or I could just save the time and come into work and deal with it. And who knows, maybe people will see this and say, Andrew, that is the handsomest you've ever looked. You've got to work that look. Maybe they'll say that's awful, and we'll know something for next time. What do you guys think? Mike B. in the audience, he's making a couple of comments. What do you think? Does this look better or not? We'll find out.
Well, I mean, I usually arrive at work unshaven, so this is actually a rare day for me. I had to shave yesterday for a christening. So.
But you didn't shave this morning for this interview, did you?
No.
So. See, you know what? Ordinarily, I wouldn't shave when I go into work, especially not here in Buenos Aires. Nobody shaves. Everyone wants to look like Che Guevara. They all call each other Che. So I do it because, you know, like I said, the rest of me is all dark. I might as well have just a little bit of lightness on my face.
I was talking over you there. I lived in Porto Alegre for a year back in 1999.
Where's that?
It's a little bit kind of northeast from where you are, Buenos Aires, maybe like 8 hours by bus.
Oh, wow.
So.
All right. I'm dying to ask you about it, but I can see that I've already gone a little too far away from business, and I could hear the person who's out there listening to us on a run saying, get back to business. There's something that I want from this program, and you're not giving it to me. All right, so let's give it to them. Let's talk, like I said, we'll do this interview in two stages. First, I want to find out more about your business and how you grew it and how you built it and how you're profitable now, right?
Oh, yeah. We were profitable from pretty much the first day. So
beautiful. I want to go over that biography. And then I've got a few questions for you that I know some of the people in the audience are going to ask, like, how do you know when it's time to charge? Mm-hmm. Where do you start getting your first advertisers? When it's time for you to increase prices, how do you do it without insulting the people who started advertising with you in the early days? What about how many ads to put on the site? All those questions that I know are on my audience's mind. But first, I want to establish your credibility and let them know why you're the guy answering it. So what was the original idea for buysellads.com?
Sure. So I started out, I was actually running two sites as a hobby myself. One was called CSS Elite. It was just another one of those CSS galleries. And the other was called 13 Styles. It had CSS menus that were free to download. By trade, I'm a web designer, developer, so naturally I'm interested in these types of things. And the thing that was most frustrating about these sites, because they weren't my main source of income, it was kind of like a hobby, is that I'd be at work and I'd have to be dealing with these advertisers, you know, who wanted me to put ads up, take ads down, you know, figure out payment, all this kind of stuff, and it was just a real pain. And so buy sell ads, really, the idea grew out of my frustration and having to do this on my own. And there not being anything else out there to let me buy and sell ads the way that I wanted to do it. So,
okay, what year was this?
This was the end of 2007 is when I first started, telling my wife about this idea every day. So,
There were already ad networks out there in 2007. There were already people out there who were selling ads. Why did you see yourself as what was the opportunity that you saw?
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to sell ads at fixed 30-day rates. It was really that simple.
What does that mean?
So basically, I would tell an advertiser, okay, you can have this ad space on my site that's, you know, this size, let's call it 300 by 250, and it's going to cost you $100 for the month. And that's as complicated as it really was. And so, you know, I'd say, okay, send me the $100. I put their ad up for the month. And then I'd ask for another $100 the next month and hope they didn't cancel. And so that's pretty much it. And I couldn't do anything that simple with any of the other ad networks.
Why? How are they operating?
Well, I mean, a lot of them, it's like if you take Google AdSense, for example, you go to Google AdSense, you grab the snippet of code, you install it on your site, and magically, you know, ads are appearing. You've got advertisers for your site, which is great. That's awesome. But with buy sell ads is a little bit different because we're not contextually matching those advertisers to your site with some special algorithm. It's those advertisers who are directly deciding to advertise with you. And so the model is a little bit different. And traditional ad networks pretty much all work that way on what's called a CPM basis, which is cost per thousand impressions. And we work off of a fixed 30-day rate. So.
I see. Regardless of how many ads are served up, if the publisher has a bad month or a great month, he still knows exactly how much he's going to get paid. That's the difference.
Yes, exactly.
And the deck operates in a similar way, right?
Yeah, so the deck, I guess technically their numbers back into a certain number of impressions that they're selling. Mm-hmm. And it's a little more ambiguous in terms of you can't choose the exact sites where you want to advertise on. You kind of get that all or nothing bundle.
I see.
Which the deck is awesome. Like, the deck is great, I think, yeah.
Okay, all right. How did you start selling ads yourself when you were running CSS Elite and 13 Styles?
So what happened at first is the advertisers would just send me an email. So I had an advertise page that said, contact me, They'd write me an email and say, hey, you know, I'd like to get an ad for a month. Oh, can I have a discount? Oh, you know, and went through this negotiation back and forth, you know, probably 6 or 7 emails exchanged before we closed the deal.
So they were just finding you. It's not that you were working the phones. It's not that you had an in with advertisers. No, you just had a sponsor me, and people clicked and started contacting you.
Exactly.
Okay, so now you don't have much experience selling ads. Why do you decide to get into buysellads.com, into a business where you're essentially going to be selling ads for lots of other sites?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it's always challenging whenever, you know, I'm out at dinner with my wife and someone says, oh, you know, what do you do? And I say, well, I sell ads. And of course, like, the immediate look I get, reaction, is that I'm, you know, some kind of snake oil salesman, you know, something like that, because ads are evil and everybody hates ads. And so the problem I was trying to solve with buy-sell ads wasn't how to get on the phone and sell ads and how to, you know, position yourself to advertisers. It was, how can I allow advertisers who are already advertising on all of these websites, how can I make them more efficient? And at the same time, how can I make the publishers who are selling ads more efficient? Because their time is better spent producing new content versus dealing with advertisers. And so that was kind of the original goal of the software. It remains the core goal today, is just to make this transaction happen smoother and happen quicker.
I see. So initially, you weren't going to get advertisers for these publishers. You were just going to make it easier for the advertisers who already wanted to sponsor the sites to interact with the sites and to make sure that they'd get paid and to just streamline that whole process. Is that right?
Exactly. And then what happened from that was that really savvy advertisers, right, who were very kind of in tune with their community, they knew all the sites they wanted to advertise on. Mm-hmm. But the ones who weren't as savvy, they didn't know where to look in the right places. And so at this point in our life cycle, BuySellAds kind of fills that void for them, where they can come there and they can see how all these sites compare with one another, since they might not be as familiar with the community. And so from that perspective, it helps drive the sales as well.
So are you saying that you started off just creating a way to just simplifying the ad buying process for publishers? Mm-hmm. And then what you started to do was show other advertisers how each of your publishers performed and allow them to buy ads on those publisher sites?
Well, no, I think we just made the discovery of those sites a lot easier.
Okay, how'd you do that?
Because they're all in one place, right? Okay. You know, if you're promoting a product that has to do with Adobe Photoshop, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to find a ton of great sites that buy sell ads.
How much of your original idea was to do that, to bring in new advertisers by being this marketplace, and how much was it just to create a software platform that was going to make it easier for publishers and advertisers to interact?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the platform comes first in making that transaction easier, and then the second piece of, you know, bringing in more advertisers just kind of happens naturally, in kind of where we're at now in the design space, because, you know, we're kind of snowballing in getting more and more design sites. You know, the new advertiser piece has just really started to happen naturally. I mean, we're definitely out there, more so now than we were before. Whether it be, you know, pitching new advertisers or helping onboard advertisers that are interested. But for the most part, I mean, we're an extremely small company, right? We're, 4 people full-time, 3 part-time. We don't have a sales team that's hitting the phones all day trying to convince people to spend money. The advertisers are spending money because they are making that decision on their own. And so it's a much different sale. You know?
What is your sale process like? How do you discover advertisers?
Yeah, you know, a lot of the advertiser discovery we do might be through, for example, like LinkedIn or stalking people online on Twitter or something like that. But to be honest, like our close rate on like our kind of outbound cold calling for new advertisers is pretty low, and most of it has just been through kind of the viral nature of the site itself, right? The publisher's installing a ad code that says advertise here, and then everything kind of spreads. You know, let's say an advertiser comes in through one site and then they, you know, discover 10 other sites, and, you know, it just kind of all mixes in together and everything funnels back down into buy sell ads.
How'd you get the original publishers?
I just shot out some emails through CSS Elite and 13 Styles. I had made some friends, and I just sent around some links and said, hey, try this out. I'd love to see if it works for you. And, luckily it worked for them. I mean, it definitely wasn't this grand idea at first. I remember telling my wife, oh, this would be great if I could earn an extra $2,000 a month from this or something like that, So,
what was the proposition that you made to the people who you first emailed about buy-sell ads, the guys who you met through CSS Elite and 13 Styles?
Yeah, you know, it was interesting because what I quickly discovered after launching buy-sell ads is that I actually didn't have to, propose too much more than making their life a little bit easier through automating their ad sales. And that turned out to be, a very big problem that people really need to solve, which was actually quite surprising to me. It was surprising to find out that I wasn't the only one with that problem. So,
and what were you charging them?
So we charged a flat commission rate of 25%. And so the publisher gets exactly 75%. And of course, within our 25% is like the credit card transaction fees and, the cost of running our business. So it's not a direct 25% to us, but, it works out well. It's a good split.
I see. So you were going to take 25% for giving them the software that would automate the sale process. You're going to take 25% for charging credit cards and for processing payments to them. What else were you going to do for them for that 25%?
It's all the support. It's all of the, the questions that an advertiser might have at 1 a.m. on a Saturday night or whatever it may be. We're pretty active. And we I guess what I would say is that we maintain our business very well.
A young site that has 100,000 viewers and is bringing in maybe $1,000 a month, 100,000 impressions and is bringing in $1,000 a month, doesn't want to reduce his burden. There's not that much burden involved in maintaining $1,000 a month. I imagine what he wants is to increase his revenue, no?
Well, I mean, yeah, you could totally argue that for a site in the web design and development space or like iPhone app review site space right now, if they're not using buy-sell ads, they're doing themselves a disservice. And I truly believe that because
let's talk back then. You got a guy, he's got a website, a blog that's doing 100,000 impressions a month. He's bringing in $1,000 on his own. He's not saying my pain point is that I have to talk to too many advertisers. He barely has any advertisers. His pain point is how do I increase my revenue without spending all day long trying to find advertisers?
Totally. So, I mean, then for that you could say, okay, so if it takes you an hour per week or a couple hours per week to manage these advertiser emails or any requests or anything like that, how many blog articles extra could you write in that same amount of time? And how much is each one of those articles worth to you? You know, if it's worth more than the cost that it costs to pay us to handle that for you, then it's worth offloading your
ads. Did you have to make that clear to them, or was it so clear to them that as soon as you offered to reduce their the work involved in processing ads that they said, Todd, yeah, take this over, I'll be able to blog more? How did it occur to them?
Yeah, I mean, I think, a lot of people just didn't want to deal with advertisers. I mean, it's not like advertisers are a pain, right? Like, we enjoy working with them every day, but people didn't want to spend that time doing that. And so that's where they came to us to get that automated. So.
Okay. How'd you get the original advertisers? It was all the sites?
Yeah, I mean, it was basically all the sites. CSS Elite had a few. One who's been with us since the beginning is FreshBooks. Like, they were advertising on CSS Elite, and they just naturally came through the buy-sell ads funnel there. Actually advertisers refer other advertisers all the time.
I was going to ask something and then I got distracted by the chat board. Let's see what they're saying. Moses seems to have a strict approval process, i.e. that infographic they're looking at the infographic on your website. There's something about infographics that people just pass them around. You get sucked into the information on them. How'd you get that infographic made, by the way?
So one of the guys on our team, Catalan, actually had the idea. Him and Anka kind of created the idea around the graphic. And then we had an outside guy design it for us.
How'd you find the outside guy to design it for you?
He had done a couple other infographics. There was one really nice one on FedEx, I think. He has a website. I don't have it off the top of my head.
I see. But you guys just saw his name on the bottom of someone else's infographic, and you hired him to do yours. I see. Yeah, yeah, those things are incredibly viral. And the infographic, for people who want to see it for themselves, is on the blog at buysellads.com. And it's just a way of visually showing how big the company had gotten in the last – how old are you guys now? 2 years? 3 years old?
2 years.
2 years old. Okay. Can you talk a little bit about the audience that you had that helped you build this new business? I've been noticing a lot in my interviews that entrepreneurs that have an audience before they start a company have a ready-made pool of customers and supporters for their new business, and it just becomes easier to build a business with that support group. What was it like for you?
Yeah, well, I mean, when we first started out, I really didn't have, my background, right, is before Buy-Sell Ads, I was working at an interactive agency. I don't have like some huge pedigree, you know, with an MBA from MIT or anything like that. I really didn't have a big following, to be honest, when I started Buy-Sell Ads. And it just kind of grew naturally. It's really crazy when I look back and think about it.
So the people who are following you through CSS Elite and 13 Styles, that was a pretty small pool, you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, like under 10 people, I'd say.
Under 10 people who you met through these sites.
Exactly, yeah.
And having those 10 people, how did that help you start this business? It doesn't seem like much, but you said that that was a big help.
Yeah, well, I mean, a perfect example is like a guy that I was friends with, David from Locopon.com. The first day I sent him the link to Buy-Sell Ads, he signed up and installed the ad code. And, you know, we were ready to sell ads in a couple days. And so then if you think about all the other publishers who are also familiar with Logopon, who go to his site and see this and, oh, wow, that's really cool. It's really easy to use. And then, of course, there's your next publisher, right? And then your next publisher. And it just kind of naturally grows from there.
I see. It seems to me that it helped that you were talking to web developers, that the two mm-hmm. sites that you had before were geared towards people who are building sites. Mm-hmm. How much did that help?
Actually, I think it helped a lot, and I think the reason why is because finally they had someone who spoke their language, right? I mean, if you look at traditional ad networks, there's none of them, I mean, and it's probably not right for me to say this, but none of them care about the kinds of things that we care about, like how fast is the ad code? You know, are the images being optimized? You know, simple stuff like that that actually matters, right? Like, oh, that CSS could have been done in 10 fewer lines, right? Like that's, you know, like that's 58 extra bytes that you really didn't need in your code. Like, you know, we care about that kind of stuff. And so we speak that same language and it fits well. It's a good thing.
Okay. In the last 2 years, can we say that you've made millions in revenue?
Me personally, no. But
no, our the business.
Yeah, the business has definitely sold millions of dollars in ads. And already this year, in fact.
What was it like to bring in that first million?
It happened. I remember very clearly because I was very excited. I was sitting on the couch with my wife. I saw the order came in because Buy-Sell Ads is always live. There's no downtime for Buy-Sell Ads. And I said, you know, we just passed $1 million. And it was just it was a really cool feeling. Because, you know, I mean, I've never had $1 million in my own bank account. And just to see that number was like, wow, you know, this is actually working. It's pretty cool, you know, so.
Any big setbacks in the last 2 years?
I think the biggest setback would be when I first started. I was still working another full-time job, and so it was night only or early mornings, whatever it took. And in all honesty, I really should have quit my job sooner, but it was hard because I really liked it and where I went on and stuff like that. So,
sorry, we had a little bit of a hiccup in the video, but you were saying you probably should have quit your job sooner. What were you doing before you launched the business? And during the early days of the business?
Yeah, so before Buy-Sell Ads, I was at a company called Mindfire Interactive, just building websites for other people. I stopped doing that because I got tired of building sites for other people. And then I freelanced for a few months. And then I got connected with Dharmesh, who I think you've actually interviewed before here on Mixergy.
Dharmesh Shah, the angel investor.
Yeah, he's a great guy. So I ended up working at HubSpot for, I guess, a year and a half, almost 2 years.
That HubSpot is the company that he founded and is running right now.
Yeah, HubSpot, they're doing great investing.
Sorry, so you called him and you were working for him doing what?
So I was working at HubSpot doing their kind of all their design work. And I was also, you know, dabbling in like kind of the technical SEO side with my programming background and stuff like that. There just came a point where I had to do Buy-Sell Ads full time. It was calling. So
how did you know that was that point?
You know, it was very tough because I'd just gotten married. And so you have other, you know, people to think about and decisions to make. You're making a decision for a family now instead of just yourself. And, you know, it got to the point where the revenue from Buy-Sell Ads was even with the revenue that I was making from HubSpot, revenue, salary, whatever you want to call it. And so, but at that point you're like, okay, well now all of a sudden I'm going to be making half as much as I was, you know? But it just made sense, right? Like I felt like the quality of our product could be that much better if I was working on it full time. And at that point I also had someone who was starting to work for me part-time, programming, and you know, the site just wasn't getting the proper attention. That, and I won't lie, like the, you know, working till like 3 a.m. gets really old after a while. And I just didn't want to do that anymore. You know, I wanted to do this full time during the day. So
you said that the revenue that you were making with buy sell ads and the salary that you took from HubSpot were even. Did you mean the profit from buy sell ads and the salary from HubSpot? The money you should take home.
Yeah. Okay. Say that right. Yeah, the profit from buy sell ads each month.
So naturally, the revenue would have been a lot more. I just wanted to see if it. So it seems like it became like a job. You were making as much money as you were at the job. How many hours were you spending on the job, and how many hours were you spending on buy sell ads, your new baby?
Yeah, I mean, I think in that respect, I was very, very honest and very fair to my job at HubSpot. When I was there, I was focused on what I was doing. I always delivered. You know, and I felt like I performed very well at HubSpot. And what's interesting about buy sell ads is that it actually didn't take a ton of time to run, because I knew that for, let's say, that 1 hour I had before going into HubSpot in the morning, or for those 2 hours I had at night before going to bed, that I only had a certain amount of time to get stuff done. And so from that perspective, I became incredibly efficient in making sure that buy sell ads was well maintained. So.
Who was that first person that you hired? How'd you find him?
Yeah, that's a great story, actually. So his name is Nathan, and he was writing articles for a website that we were selling ads on. And I remember I was trying to figure out how to do something with coding one night, and I came across an article he had written, and I was like, wait, now if I'm reading about this guy teaching me how to do stuff, why don't I try and hire him? Because I found out he was freelancing and stuff like that. And so I just sent him an email, and we got connected. And the funniest part is that about maybe a month after we started working together, he caught me on IM, and he said, you know, Todd, I really need to tell you something. And I was like, oh, geez, here we go. And he said, I want you to know that I'm only 17 years old. I hope that's okay with you. And I was like, are you kidding me? That's awesome. I was like, first of all, you sold me as if you were someone who had been doing this for years, which – judging by the quality of work, you definitely have been. And it doesn't really matter that you're 17. You're kicking ass, right? You're doing a great job. And so then about 6 months later, he came on full time.
How many people do you have now?
So we've got seven. Okay. There's four of us that are full time. So myself, Nathan, Anka, and Sergio. And then we have Matthew, John, and Catalin working part time. So that's seven total.
Nathan now is working full time. He must be 18 years old. I guess he's not going to college.
Well, I think I definitely think he has plans to do that. Okay.
But so, now he's working full time for you, and at some point in the future, he wants to go back to college, go back to school. Okay, let's have a look here and see if there's anything else about the business that I want to cover. Let's see. The audience is saying, "What about? Is there a huge community around buy sell ads? That's a big plus." Caitlin seems to be saying.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think like people support us pretty well, and we're very fortunate in that respect.
What kind of community? What are we talking about? How can a site like yours even have a community?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, because you're selling ads. It's like, you know, yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's because we treat people the way they want to be treated, right? You know, when they email in, like, there's a good chance they're going to get an answer directly from me in support.
And if somebody goes to support and sends an email, you're going to respond to that email still?
Yeah, I mean, I still respond to about 50% of our support emails.
And how soon do you respond to email?
Well, the stat over the last year was within 6 hours. You know, depending on how tough it is, could be a day, could be a, you know, 30 minutes or 3 minutes.
Can somebody in the live audience try that? I know I've got you here in the interview for the next, I don't know how long, half hour or so, but I'd love to see if somebody would try that. Let's see if we can get a response and find out how long it takes. Email me.
Challenge us.
What happens after the interview. Challenge them. Challenge buy sell ads. Also, if you're listening to this on tape delay, is that the name we're going to give this? If you're listening to the tape version of it, try it too and send me an email. Let me know. Don't ask a jerky question, because I got to believe they're going to delete those. But if you have a real question, ask it and then let me know how fast the response comes in. Okay, let's see where we were. Tech support. All right, let's go on to the audience. Let's find out. Well, actually, no. One more question about community. Physically, where is this community? Are we talking about a V-bulletin board where people are talking to each other? Are we talking about a community that just kind of exists of people who talk to each other privately by email? Is there something else that you use?
Yeah, I mean, we don't really have like one centralized place. I mean, we definitely we're very active on Twitter and have recently been active on Facebook. But overall, I think it generally exists in the blogs and on the sites where we sell ads. We get a lot of people who are very nice and write reviews of us all the time.
Okay. Do they get affiliate commissions when they write a review and somebody becomes a user, a publisher?
No.
No.
We don't have an affiliate program yet.
Wow. So. All right. So let's start this way. New site in the audience. Somebody's listening to us and says, you know, I want to sell advertising. Where do I even start?
Sure.
What do you tell them?
So the first thing is you have to have some kind of quality content or unique content that attracts the types of visitors and the volume of visitors that it takes to sell ads. It's not easy to create a really powerful and unique blog. It's hard work. So that's the first thing they should know. It's not plug and play. It's not like AdSense where you just plug it in there and you're making money. It's hard work.
Okay, so find that one niche.
Yep.
And it doesn't have to be a blog, even though we've been saying blog a lot. I'm seeing Andrew SG in the audience, and I know that he has styleguidance.com, a question and answer site around style. He's going to have the same issues, and other people have different formats. But you're saying find that niche. How do you know what niche to go after?
Well, you've got to be passionate about it, right? I mean, it's just like with it's no different than me starting Buy Sell Ads. I was passionate about what I was doing, and that's
okay.
Why it's
beyond
it's doing...
that. How do you know what's overdone? How do you know where the opportunity is? How do you know what specific? I mean, I might be interested in all gadgets. If I have to pick a niche, how do I know which niche is the right one for me?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to pick one that's also very focused, right? Like, we actually have a lot of trouble selling ads on kind of general tech and gadget sites because they're not targeting one specific user, right? And they need a little bit more than buy sell ads many times. You've got to be knowledgeable about the subject, first of all, right?
It's true, but we're all getting started. I mean, we're not all getting started, but when you're getting started, you can focus on lots of different areas. To use the gadget example, somebody who's into gadgets is into the iPad and is into the Android and is into a billion other things. How does he figure out which of those gadgets to focus on? Where's the money?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's definitely money with anything related to iPad, iPod, Apple, etc., right? Like the iPhone app review sites were one of our biggest growing kind of categories in 2009. They came out of nowhere, and I mean, those guys make a good amount of money. They charge
more.
How much?
Yeah.
I think if you look through inventory, and again, a lot of this is public. You can actually see it in our inventory. A lot of them are making, you know, anywhere between like three and let's say seven thousand a month.
For just an iPhone review site.
Yeah, but it's like the bigger ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they definitely have heavy traffic, and they can, you know, sell those ads. So.
Okay. All right. So let's say they found their niche. They're passionate about it. They're writing every day. They're building up that audience and tweeting and Facebooking and just bringing people in almost one at a time. They finally get to, what are we going to use as the minimum? 100,000, right?
Sure. Yeah. Fair enough.
Okay. Where do they get their first sponsor?
So believe it or not, a lot of times the time when you'll know when it's right to sell ads is when someone actually contacts you and says, hey, I'd like to grab an ad on your site. Mm-hmm. Other times, you could definitely start sooner if you kind of look at sites around you that have roughly the same amount of traffic, see who's advertising on their site, and reach out to those advertisers to get some ads.
When you say look at sites around you, you mean go to those websites? And see who's sponsoring them?
Yeah, see what they're doing. So, for example, when I had CSS Elite, there were, you know, it was back in the day of the CSS Gallery, right? There's like CSS Remix, CSS Beauty, CSS Drive. There's all these other sites. And so I'd go to those sites and see what's happening there. And, you know, you kind of learn from everything that's around you, right?
All right. Actually, that's how I got the first sponsor at Mixergy. I wasn't accepting sponsors for a long time. And then I listened to Gregory Gallant's Venture Voice, the podcast with entrepreneurs. And he was doing an ad for FreshBooks. And I said, well, you know what? I could do an ad. I could do a better ad than he does. Let me call up FreshBooks and see if I could pitch him on a sponsorship. Uh-huh. And we talked, and sure enough, they became the first sponsor at Mixergy.
Nice. Did you talk to Mitch?
Yeah, actually.
Mitch is a great guy.
Yeah, I think I still talk to Mitch a lot.
Nice.
Okay, so I see. Look and see who's sponsoring in other places. Where else? Because you know what I've discovered? A lot of people have what look like ads, but they're really affiliate programs. And you don't want the mm-hmm. affiliate programs. You want the guys who are paying CPM. You want the ones who are building relationships. Can we go to sites like yours and see who's sponsoring related sites? Is there another way?
Well, I mean, you can definitely, you know, go through BuySellOut's inventory. People do that all the time. And, you know, I get emails about people complaining about they're getting spam from so-and-so and stuff like that. But I mean, like, if you're a publisher in a specific niche, you should be aware of what other sites are around you, right? Like, you kind of need to be part of that community. And many times, I think, especially in the design space, a lot of these sites, they're all friends, right? They're sending each other traffic. They're, you know, commenting on other articles and stuff like that. They're all kind of working together to move this together. Right? So.
Okay. And the way that you got your first sponsors was by just having a sponsor me link on your website.
Yep. Yep.
That just takes people to an email address, right? Or to a form that triggers an email.
Yeah, I just had to go straight to an email address. And I think in the most simplest form, that's how you can start, you know, getting people to advertise on your site. You know, throw up a link that says advertise here as part of your main navigation or something. See what happens, you know. Keep it classy. It's my only advice. So.
What do you mean? What are some mistakes that people have made?
Well, I mean, you mentioned affiliate ads, right? And it's true for something like Google AdSense. You don't have a ton of traffic, you know, and you're trying to build up that readership and get those people to follow your site. Don't litter your site with all these crappy, you know, don't put a huge AdSense block right at the beginning of your article. Don't put 10 affiliate ads right on the side, because what that tells your users right there is that you're trying to make money from them. And, you know, while it's a very, you know, it's an okay thing to do, don't get me wrong, when you're first starting out, that's the wrong message to send to people who are kind of consuming your content and helping you build up your site.
I see. Should you, though, start with either Google or an affiliate program where, in both cases, you don't have to make a sale? You just go and take some code, put it on your website, and you're good to go.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, let's say, for example, like FreshBooks has an affiliate program, right? You know, companies like MailChimp, I'm sure like Wufoo and Grasshopper do too, stuff like that. I would say, you know, use affiliate programs for products that you use and products that you think your users will actually use. Because, you know, in the affiliate world, and I'm not trying to diss the affiliate world, but, you know, there's a lot of spammy and you know, junk offers out there. And you don't want to have those kind of downgrading the value of your site, right?
I see. Yeah. In those early days when you're desperate for revenue, it's tempting to start putting ads everywhere and to take crappy affiliate programs just because they're going to bring in revenue. What you're saying is when you have that on your site, it's hard to graduate to the next level and bring in those sponsor deals that we're talking about here.
Yeah, exactly. And even once you get to that point where you can, you know, start charging people for ads, you still have to turn away the ads that aren't right for your site. I mean, we turn away, you know, on a given month, probably $20,000 worth of new ads because they're not right. And it's hard to do that, but you have to do that if you want to maintain high quality and kind of send the right message to your visitors. Right?
What kind of ads are you sending away?
I mean, there's a lot of like malware ads going around now, like the, win a free, iPad or, you know, win a free iPhone. Or MacBook Pro, like the cartoon face. And if you went to some sites in our inventory right now, you're probably going to find a few of those ads, but it's something we filter out. And so 3 months ago, we might not have been filtering them out. Now we are. So we're getting rid of anything that's not good for users that we try to get rid of.
Do you guys have an approval process before an ad runs in your network?
Yeah, so right now what happens when someone buys an ad is that we get an email, and at the same time the publisher gets an email, and they can either approve or deny the ad. And in certain situations, we'll override whether they approve or deny. In most cases, to deny an ad, they would have accepted if it's either, you know, fraudulent or if it's, you know, some kind of malware or something like that. So.
What kind of CPMs would a gadget site get these days?
Gadget sites. You know, if I could stretch that to be like an iPhone app review site.
Yeah, how many dollars per thousand would they get?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can get anywhere between, I'm going to say like $200 to $350 maybe, depending on the site, placement, stuff like that.
Okay.
The other thing you have to consider too is that, you know, if you have four small 125 by 125s together, I'd be counting that as one unit. So I'd combine all those CPNs because that's how the traditional networks do it. So.
Okay. All right. That brings me to another question. You're mm-hmm. starting out. How do you know how much to charge?
That's a great question. The first thing you should do is actually look through our inventory and see what those sites around you are charging. If they're not part of buy-sell ads, go to their advertise page, see if they'll share with you, see if you can find out. I think, you know, when you look at those sites and you see how much they're charging and how full their ad zones are, you'll have a pretty good idea of whether they're charging the right amount.
I see. Okay, so if I were going to start an iPad website, an iPad review mm-hmm. site, I might go to buy, sell ads and see what your iPod or iPhone review
sure.
mm-hmm. sites are earning per thousand and then price around there.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. What about when it's time to increase? How do you do that?
Sure. So that's a very delicate process.
Yeah.
Anytime you change anything on an advertiser, it's friction. And when you're selling ads, you want to reduce the amount of friction as much as possible. And so one thing we typically do is we say, okay, well, let's try to sell some ads. This is okay. Let's say you know, you're selling ads for $100 and you want to increase to $150. We say, okay, you've got one spot available. Let's try and sell that one spot that's available for $150. Once we sell that, then let's increase one of your other advertisers. Okay, once they approve, then we increase the other advertiser. Let's say they deny it. Okay, so now we have that empty spot. Let's sell that again at $150. Okay, now once it's full again, we'll go to the next advertiser and increase them and work it like that.
Okay, but assuming you have four ads, you
sure.
could have two sponsors who are paying less than mm-hmm. the other two sponsors. That's another form of friction, or it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah, well, I mean, the other thing too is that, like, you know, once you commit to changing a price, you need to do it for everybody there. Part of the value of a network like BuySellAds is all the information is transparent to all the advertisers. And so when you increase the price, we're expecting you're going to follow through with that. It might take 2 months, which is totally fine, but that should be where you're going.
Okay, and everyone understands that's the direction they're going in.
Yeah.
Hey, what kind of sites are getting the highest CPMs right now?
Yeah, I mean, I would say kind of the more, I guess the web design development sites that might have like a more prominent brand presence. Meaning they're the ones that are always, you know, retweeted by Smashing Magazine and stuff like that. There's some great iPhone app review sites, 148apps.com, which is great, App Safari. I mean, I'm leaving out like 20 others, but there's just a ton of great sites in that space. When it comes to design sites, you know, sites like Icon Finder, it's a great place. Six Revisions, NetTuts, PSDTuts, all of the Envato sites are great. Again, I know I'm leaving out like a ton of great sites and people are going to get mad at me, but those are the ones that come to mind right away. So
Icon Finder, yeah, I see he's in the audience. He's saying, yay.
I knew that. That's why I said that. But it's the truth. So,
you know what? I took questions before the interview started for you. Let me grab the question.
Okay.
One of the questions was, and I'll bring most of them up towards the end of the interview, but let's see. Where was that? Where's that guy? Well, I can't find the question right now, but basically what he was saying is, when are you guys going to new markets? It seems like
sure.
what you're doing now is focusing on these design sites, focusing mm-hmm. on a specific kind of site. Why?
Well, it's what we know. One of the best compliments we ever got from an advertiser is that they said, you know, the reason why we like working with buy-sell ads is because we feel like we're working with the publisher directly. And so what that means, we just have that subject matter expertise that helps them figure out what to do. So we give good advice, basically. And I think kind of moving forward with buy-sell ads, what you'll see is that we'll be empowering other people who have subject matter expertise to do the same thing in their niche. I don't want to move into, let's say, you know, for example, shoes. I know absolutely nothing about shoes. And sure, we'd make more money if we did all these other verticals and stuff, but I don't feel comfortable doing it because I don't know it as well. And to me, that's not going to be a fun company to run.
So you're going to find somebody else to run a buy-sell ads, a white-labeled buy-sell ads for shoes or for other subjects?
You could say that, yes. We'll have something very very interesting launching toward the end of May.
This is David Boyd, by the way, who asked that question. I want to give credit to the people who asked the questions. He also is asking, when are you guys going to expand to Australia and France and I guess... No, I assumed he was asking about Australia and France, but he's not. He's asking about finance. I'm reading these things too quickly. What about other countries? Are you guys in other countries yet?
I mean, you know, with Buy Sell Ads alone, like our publishers span so many different countries, you could say we're in other countries. We're not localized in any different languages. It's definitely something that we think about often and think about a lot. It's very tempting. I think we still have enough work to do right here, even within web design development, you know, kind of tech-oriented sites, where we're not going to stray that far just yet. I think, you know, it's definitely make sense to grow. So.
Okay. Let's see. What about placement? How do you know where to place the ads?
Yeah, I mean, my best advice is just to let them breathe, right? I mean, you know, don't cram like 20 ads into this one spot or something crazy like that. And of course, you know, higher end networks like the DEC would argue that, you know, that we put too many ads in our placements.
Because they do only one ad per site.
Exactly. Because they have only one ad per site. But, you know, still just, you know, that top right placement, the leaderboard, you know, in post under title, as annoying as it may be, it still commands a great amount of money. And then, of course, the standard 125 by 125 is on the right side.
What's the most effective out of all those?
In post under title by far.
Those are the most distracting.
I know. It's sad but true. And, you know, I don't feel like sites should add that position until they have a ton of traffic.
Why? I would feel like they would want to do it early on before they get a ton of traffic just to maximize the traffic that they have now.
I guess it depends on what their priority is, right? If they're just trying to make the most money from their site, go for it. If they're trying to build up their community and kind of cash in on the other side, then wait. So.
Okay. Let's see. Be part of an ad network. Why should somebody be a part of an ad network? Why not just go off on their own?
Sure. I think, you know, something like Buy Sell Ads, it adds a lot. It adds process and it adds credibility. The advertisers are comfortable working with us. They know that if they've worked with us before, that they're going to get what they paid for. You know, they're familiar with the process. If someone wants to sell ads on their own, I think that's perfectly fine too. I would say, you know, go for it, try it out. If it doesn't work, then try a network, you know.
Does it make sense? I see MailChimp on lots of sites. Does it make sense for me if I was a new site to just call up MailChimp and say, hey, I hear you guys advertising everywhere. What's it going to take to get you to try out my site?
So with a company like MailChimp, I'd say no, it doesn't make sense because they don't have the bandwidth to be dealing with. And I'm not trying to say they can't handle it. I'm just saying like they don't want to deal with 50 different publishers, right? Just think how much that complicates what they're trying to accomplish. You know, for a company like that, they're going to go through Buy Sell Ads because we make them more efficient, right?
Yeah.
Accounting department sees it come through. It's just normal. It's part of the process. So.
Yeah, I can imagine all the headaches involved in that because it takes forever for a smaller site to send out invoices, to collect payment, to go back and forth on the traffic and everything else. I could see why they'd want to do that. Let's see what else we've got here. How to increase rates. What else do you think we should talk about? What are some big mistakes that publishers make?
So big mistakes, I would say getting too greedy, you know, jacking the prices up when you should kind of be patient and kind of, you know, enjoy that recurring revenue that's there. I think another big mistake, not keeping kind of your post frequency going. I think a lot of the sites thrive off of, you know, a lot of social traffic and, you know, kind of the, you know, continuously publishing. Like people are always hungry for new articles. And so you kind of have to keep that frequency up and keep publishing new stuff that'll keep people coming back. So,
you know, I don't know what the frequency really matters a lot more than I ever realized. If you just are consistent, every day you publish something, every day there's something new on your site, it increases traffic way more than if you publish 5 times a week versus 1 time a week. You're publishing 5 times as many posts every week, but your traffic will grow more than 5 times because I guess people start to depend on the site. They start to take it seriously. I remember when I talked to Ben Ha, the guy who runs the Cheeseburger Network, I Can Has Cheeseburger and Failblog and the others, and I asked him, what are the first things that you did when you bought this company? And he said, I took it to a dependable, consistent publishing schedule. And then that way people knew what to expect from us, and they knew that they could keep coming back and getting more from us. Okay, so let's see. Robert asked earlier, what's the best way for me to add advertising to my site? And I guess what he's meaning is, where should he put it?
Yeah, well, it depends on the site layout, but traditionally it's kind of the right sidebar is the right place. I don't want to tell people not to be creative with where they put their ads. Just keep it clean, right? Let them breathe. I must sound like a broken record, but it's like these things just work. Quality content, let the ads breathe, and don't put too many advertisers there. It works. So,
Do you have any advice for increasing CPMs on the mobile web?
To be honest, we don't have any experience with mobile yet. It's something I'd love to do this year, but right now we're busy solving other problems. But we'll get there, I'm sure. So,
where do you guys advertise?
We don't have any active ads running right now. We have a little AdSense running, but that's about it. It's minimal, maybe like $50 a month. Our users advertise for us, right? They praise the company and kind of we're committed to doing hard work for them, and they reward us in that regard. We're very lucky. So,
I got a question here from Ruben of BidSketch. He sent the question over before we started. Basically, he's got his banner, and he's asking for feedback on how he can improve this ad that he runs. What I'd like to do is, because Ruben is a guy who just keeps asking questions, and I love getting questions from the audience, I want to give him as much help as possible. I want to help anyone who works and works as hard as he does on his site and also is supportive of the work that I do here. Can I show you his ad after the interview, get your feedback, and then post it on this on the site with this interview?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
We'll make it kind of bonus material for people.
Cool.
All right. In general, though, if somebody has an ad and they want to know how to improve it, what do you tell them?
Well, I mean, try A-B testing stuff. See what works better. A great example is I was giving Fotolia some advice on some ads that they were doing. And, I said, I think this one's going to work best. And so, they did all this new creative. They mixed it in with their current ads, and it turns out the ad they already had running did better than the one that I said would do best, right? And so it's, in some ways, you just have to test. You have to try it out, see what works. Try different colors. Try less text on the ad, right? Stuff like that. Try sending it to different landing pages on your site, see what converts better. There's a ton of stuff you can do.
I get that. Where do you get the ideas, though, that you're going to test? Like, I can understand change from one color to the other. That would occur to me pretty easily, but... Mm-hmm. I want to come up with tests that make sense that have worked for other people. Where can I find examples of that?
There is, I came across this site, AB testing. I don't know if it's .org or .com, but it's a site that some guys are running from Performable, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of kind of there's open data there. Unfortunately, we don't have all of that data that we leave open because our viewpoint is the advertisers pay for it and they own that data. So unfortunately, I don't have anything directly to share.
Okay. In a situation like this. I'd love to hear maybe from the audience if they have any recommendations of where we can go to find out what's worked for other people so that we can try their ideas on our on our advertising. If you guys have any suggestions, come back to the site and give them to me and give them to the other readers on Mixergy. All right. It's Dano Mannion is saying it's abtests.com, plural. ABTESTS.com.
Thanks, Dano.
Yeah. All right. Any last bit of advice for people who are building websites?
Yeah, when it comes to selling ads, just keep it simple. Don't make it too hard on advertisers to make a decision. Have a few options. Make it very clear and make it easier for them to buy it. That's all you need to do.
Cool. All right. As a listener and viewer of Mixergy, and an entrepreneur yourself, what would you like to see me do more of, differently, suggestions? What would you like? What would help you?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you could just interview Jason Fried every week, I'd watch this show religiously. No, I mean, like, he's a great example of a guy that just has very sound, down-to-earth advice. I mean, stuff like that's priceless for guys like me. We feed off of it. So
it seems like a lot of the way you've built your business is based on his ideas. Whether you got it from him or not, I don't know, but your methods are aligned.
Yeah, I think I've read both of his books, and a lot of the stuff he says is true. And I think the most helpful thing for me that he's given me through the stuff he's written is confidence. Right? It's don't be scared of the big guys. You don't need to be featured on TechCrunch to be successful. Stuff like that. All you need to do is focus on creating awesome value for your users, being profitable, and things will probably work out. Just focus on what works for you. It's really easy as someone running a business for the first time to get hung up on stuff like that. Like, oh man, I didn't win this award, or TechCrunch wouldn't write an article about me, or oh no, this competitor just got $5 million in funding. My whole world's going to end. It's really easy to let those things, those road bumps along the way. It's really easy to lose sleep and stuff like that, but kind of have to look past that and just focus on solving the problem that your users need solved.
Who else is out there like Jason Fried, whose opinions and ideas you respect?
Definitely Dharmesh. Dharmesh and his co-founder, Brian. I worked for those guys for 2 years. I look up to them a lot. I'm not as close with them now as I was when I worked there. But when I was there, I felt like the advice they gave, internally for the company was very sound and very reasonable.
What kind of advice did they give you? I did an interview with Dharmesh, but I'd like to do another one. I have a lot of respect for him as an entrepreneur and as an angel investor. He knows his stuff. What should I be asking him?
I mean, I think with Dharmesh, I think what's special about him is that he doesn't stop people from letting them kind of realize their own ideas. I guess the company culture there is unique in that sense that, anybody can become a star if they want to be, right? It's kind of like being an entrepreneur. Like it's up to you.
How did you do that at his company?
The stuff that I was working on there, I was just passionate about. And they didn't stop me from working on stuff that I wanted to work on. It was like technical SEO at the time. It was, designing the interface for their app. Optimizing some JavaScript, stuff like that. They let me work on stuff that would help make the company better, right? So,
but everyone wants their employees to work on stuff that makes the company better. How did they do it differently with you?
They didn't have any red tape. And when you go to when you're in a meeting or whatever, your voice is heard. If you have something smart to say, they'll hear it. It's not there's no red tape, no bureaucracy, no BS. So.
By the way, why don't they own buysellads.com? You built it while you were working for them. Isn't there a chance that they would have said, hey, these are our ideas, we own the business?
Yeah, that's a great question. Before I signed on with them full-time, I actually had buysellads in the contract. At the time, it was called something different, but it was the same idea. Obviously I thought about this. We don't really have any IP with the actual product, and the current product that's live right now was completely rewritten after I left there. And so there was nothing really similar to what they were doing. So,
but they knew upfront, you're building this, it's yours, it's on the side.
And they knew I was a risk when I first started. I'm pretty sure of that. So,
I'm sorry, what did you say when you first started?
It was pretty clear that they knew I was a risk to leave when I first started. So.
Okay, and his co-founder, I actually don't know his co-founder. What's he like?
Oh, he's cool. He's cool. He's the type of guy who you can, go to the bar, have a beer with, and just have an honest conversation, they're both like that. They're approachable. And I think that's important for co-founders and stuff like that. So.
All right. Well, if there's anyone else that you can think of later on, shoot me an email, and I'd love to interview more of the people who've influenced you.
Cool.
I want to thank you for doing this interview. I want to thank you even beyond this. You mentioned Jason Fried. Mm-hmm. I had an issue a while back. Jason Fried sent me an email to just encourage me to continue. It's mm-hmm. kind of interesting how, apart from when the cameras are on certain people and apart from the persona that they have in public, they're mm-hmm. genuine good people in private too. there was no talk of you coming here and doing an interview or me doing anything for you when you and I first met. You just said, hey, Andrew, I see you're selling ads. Let me see if I can help you. You gave me advice on how I could adjust my advertising. I'm really grateful to you for doing that. That stuff that you do in private is, it just says a lot about who you are. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing this interview. Thank you for answering the question from BidSketch after this interview.
Sure thing.
And I'm glad to know you, and I hope to get to meet you in person.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. You know, definitely thanks for having me on this interview. It's an honor to be interviewed, you know, next to that long list of people there. So I'm grateful for that. And yeah, I mean, anytime, shoot me an email. I'm always open. Cool. And it's the same way with all of our users too. They can contact me anytime. So
right now in our audience, there's someone who is in the position that you were about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. They are building this thing on the side, maybe just like you. They don't have all the expertise because they didn't go to business school, and they know design better than they know sales, or they know programming better than they know how to use Excel or how to use QuickBooks. I don't know what kind of hangups we have in our heads. I love when I get people like you here to say, hey, you know what? All those little issues are little in comparison to just having the idea and executing. And I love when you come here and you share those ideas and just show them this is how you did it. And give them ideas that will help them build their business. So whoever you are, in 2 years or however long it takes you, come back, do what Todd did, do an interview here on Mixergy. I'm looking forward to hearing your story. Todd, thank you.
Yeah, just do it.
Yeah. All right. Do it and tell me and tell Todd. Absolutely. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Andrew. I'll see you in the comments.